Advent, and then in the new year, I'm really excited. Seems like we do this a lot, but we really haven't in a number of years now, a couple of years at least. We're going to come back in the new year and really hunker down in the Gospel of Mark. And I just love studying the Gospels. I love studying the life of Christ through one of the lenses of one of the Gospel presenters. So we got some good stuff before us. And in this closing of Colossians, is Paul is closing out his letter here. I want to just kind of continue on in the vein that we've presented, I hope, this passage or this study this last few weeks. It's a letter of a pastor who had never pastored the people he wrote to and yet had a deep abiding connection with them because of the fact that he knew the man who had started the church in Colossae, Epaphras. And Paul is writing, having never been there, having never met most of these people, and yet having a very strong connection with them because of the fact that he knew that what they were coming out of, and he knew the struggles that they had. And I get the privilege of coming and presenting it to you, the people I do know, and the people that I love, and the people I walk with, and the people that I'm encouraged to be a part of life with. And if I haven't said it lately, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be a part of this amazing community. I want to say thank you for allowing me to fumble through life as your pastor. And I want to say thank you for trusting me and our elders together with leadership for this group. And we do not take that lightly. And I say thank you to the elders who come alongside and who are partners with Pastor Dustin and I and our staff in ministry. I know how privileged I am. And I hope as a congregation you know how privileged you are. I've been in other churches and I love them. And I've worked with many churches and I love them. But the unity that we have in leadership here, the unity we have as a congregation, as a community, as a family, is rare. And that's sad. It's one of those things when people say, well, you know, you're lucky to have that and the rest of us don't have that. It makes me thrilled to have what I have. It makes me sad for those who don't have it. And I want to just say, and I think I can speak on behalf of our elders, thank you. Because there is no leadership without followership. And we cannot lead if people are not willing to stand with us and to see what God is calling us to and to work on it together. So I come and feel very privileged to walk each day with you as a congregation, as a community, to stand here week after week and to get to speak to you. And like I said, I don't take that lightly, and I do it with a sense of urgency. Pastor Dustin is young and strapping and strong. And sometimes I think he must shake his head at me. I know he does. There's times when I know he looks at me and he's trying not to shake his head at me. I can see it in his eyes. His eyes move back and forth, but his head stays still. Because I say certain things and I do certain things. And you know what I was thinking this week, Dustin? It reminds me a lot of a relationship I had with a senior pastor I used to work with. And I always felt I was like this and he was like this. I always felt like I was the steady force. And you know, and in a lot of ways, we've reversed roles. That Dustin is Mr. Steady. He's like, nothing rattles him, and even though I try, you know, nothing rattles him. He's just there, and I'm up and down, and I realize part of that is just a natural flow of life, and I'm not saying this to be overly dramatic or melodramatic, but I'm looking at a lot less years of productive ministry than I've looked at years in the past of ministry, and I don't take that lightly. Although I may be in ministry for quite some time, because I was just doing the math in the front row, I think I'm going to be 70. If all goes well, I'll be 70 when Lydia graduates from university. So I need the job for quite some time, okay? Or a job. If anybody's got a better job that pays more, in about 10 or 15 years, come look me up. And I may make a shift. I might go into sign making or something, you know, Don. So, you know, warm up the seat for me. But I did the math this morning earlier on the fact that I'm about, depending on which end of my contract you look at here, because I had a verbal, but non-written contract when I started here. We joke about the contract. But I'm halfway or a third of the way to the end of that. And I don't take that lightly, Because when I came, it sounded like a lot of years if I could stay that long. And I said, I would like to stay this many years if I can stay fresh and you still want me as your leader. And like I said, I'm halfway or a third of the way there, depending on which end of that spectrum you look at. And I don't take that lightly because it's going fast, very fast. And I don't take lightly the call that God has given me and us as leadership to stand here to give leadership to you, to make a difference in not only your lives, not only our congregation, but more importantly for God's kingdom and our greater community. And Paul comes and he addresses these issues of keeping people on the right path. And that's what these epistles that we have of Paul's are. I can struggle in some of the wrong areas sometimes. I struggle with things that maybe I should just let go, and yet I try not to take certain things personally. And there are seasons of ministry where it seems like what you hear is what's not going right more than you hear what is going right. And there's seasons where you feel like what you're hearing is how people wish things would be instead of how they are. And coming through this fall, I kind of felt like I was maybe in one of those seasons where everybody had an opinion, and that's okay. And everybody had some suggestions, and that's okay. And yet, if you don't filter those things out right, you can drive yourself nuts in leadership. And I was going into our Ethiopia trip. I was tired. And I've been tired for a season of life here, and God keeps giving me energy and excitement for things, and I'm glad and I'm excited to be a part of things. But as I went to Ethiopia, it was a nice time just to unplug. It was nice to know that Pastor Dustin, the elders, and the staff were here, and I didn't worry about anything back here. And I just went, and I enjoyed the time that we were there. And yet, as time came closer to come home, things started to change, and I needed to kind of put my head back around Leduc Fellowship Church and the kingdom work here again. And I found myself getting quite tense very quickly as I began to think about some of the things I needed to address when I got home. And our last Sunday in Ethiopia, we went to a church that I preferred not to go to. It's a good and growing church, and there's great people there. I wanted to go to another church, but it was across town, and our driver didn't have time to take us there, so he wanted to take us to a church that he attends sometimes. And the reason I didn't want to go is that they have wonderful worship, but they tend to lean towards the side of health and wealth gospel when it comes to presenting the word. And I don't agree with that way of approaching things. So we sat there, and there were some really good parts of the sermon. The pastor had some really good stuff to say, but the underlying foundation of his message I felt was very faulty, and I struggled with it. And Chad from Hungry for Life that was with us, he looked at me and says, "Are you struggling with this too?" And I said, "Yeah, we'll talk about it later." But then we had a closing time where an older pastor of the church stood up to give kind of the invitation towards the end, and he asked us to pray, and as I was praying, God really did use that time to speak to me. And, I questioned God this morning even whether I should share this or not, and I felt the prompting of God to say it, that God spoke to me and spoke a very clear but short statement, which said, "Let the consumers go and teach those who want to worship me better." And I would say that summarizes what leadership here desires for us as a church. That we're not here, we know we can't please everybody's style preference, and we know we can't give everybody exactly what they want. We know we can't give everybody 100% of the way they want to see it happen, but we try our best to be faithful to God and what God has called us to. And for me, that is actually a very easy filter to run things through. It comes down to how strongly do the things we do lead us to follow Christ all the better, to root ourselves in Him, to go deep in discipleship, to make sure that we're not fluffy believers of Christ, but that we are truly rooting ourselves deep in who He is. And I believe that is the heart of Colossians. It's the heart of what Paul is striving to say to the fellow believers that he's writing to. And I just simply want to encourage us that way this morning, that we can all have preferences. Trust me, not everything in this church is how I want it. I know you think, well, Dennis got his preferences because he's the leader and it's all like he wants. Not like I want it in a lot of ways. But some things just fit better for who we are. Some things work better for who we are. And we do the best that we can do. But the question I ask, hopefully daily, and we as leadership ask on a regular basis, is are we really helping people belong to Christ and go deeper in Christ? And if the answer is no to that, then we failed. If we not helped you know Jesus or go deeper in Jesus, then we have failed. We failed ourselves, we failed you, but we failed God. And I hope that that is our heart. And you can tell me your preferences and I'll listen. It's not that I don't care. I just can't do some things about some of those things. But the question I'm going to have is, have you had a chance to grow deeper in Christ? And have you? There's two questions there. One is, have you had an opportunity? Two, have you? There's a personal choice and a decision to be made. I've said this before, and I'm going to expand it a little bit, that Jesus doesn't want fans of himself. He wants followers. And I would expand that to say Jesus doesn't want fans, doesn't need fans, and he doesn't need fanatics. A fan is somebody who likes something and hoopla and all is good, and we can come here and say, you know what, woo, Jesus, yeah! The songs did it this morning for me. It felt good. But I go home and don't go an inch deeper with him personally. Or we can have fanatics who go, yes, the teaching was on today. He made that point perfectly, like I wanted to hear it. And there's something to be said for sound doctrinal teaching. Something to be said for being moved in emotion in worship. But the question is, are we deeper followers of Christ because we've gathered together and supported one another? And in that, I will always say there's two sides. That one is, have we gone deep in Christ? And then have we taken Christ's kingdom further because of what he's called us to do? And that's simply what Paul set out to do in an encouraging of these people who were new in their faith and yet who were tempted to fall back into the old ways of doing things. And I want to encourage us today that we need to make sure that we don't fall back into the old way, the natural way, the human way of doing things, that we need to continually grow deeper rooted in Christ. So I just want to read one passage early on in chapter 2 to you that we've looked at a couple times already. And then I want to look at just two short passages in the last chapter of Colossians as we wrap up this study. The first one, I only have a couple verses up there, verse 6 and 7 of chapter 2 on the screen, but I'm going to read from verse 1, so you'll just have to listen for the first part or take your Bible and open it. Chapter 2 of Colossians, starting in verse 1. Paul writes these words. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and unified in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And we've read that a couple times. I read that the very first week we came to Colossians and said, we're going to jump ahead a little bit because this is kind of the theme that Paul wants to unpack here and say, you know what, this is all about the fact that we may know our purpose, that we'd be encouraged in heart, united in love, that we'd have the full riches of complete understanding of the mysteries of God, which is Christ Jesus. And Paul was, I think, some would argue, but I think Paul was using that term mystery because everybody was saying there's this mystery that nobody knows except for a few of us. And Paul was saying there's no mystery. The answer is easy. It's Jesus. And it's him at the center of everything. It's him the base of everything. It's him the foundation of everything. It's him the building blocks of everything. And if you know him, there's no mystery. And you don't have to worry about these mysteries. And yet the desire of Paul is that all would come to know Christ and put him on the throne of their life and dethrone themselves from the throne of their own lives. And he continues on with that. And he ends this little passage here. Well, he doesn't end it, but we end where he says, so then just as you received Christ, when you get him, when you finally find him and get beyond that mystery and understand that Jesus at the center of everything is the answer, as you receive him as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Once that, once we come to know Christ, once we get beyond that mystery that there's something we can't figure out and realize there's something we can know, it's called Jesus. It's a person, not a theology. It's not a philosophy. It's not a teaching. It's not a school. It's a person. And when we know him, that we have to become deeper rooted in him. And we have to grow in that. And that's our hope is leadership for all of us. Not just for you, but for us. That we not only know Jesus, but that we would know him intimately. And that we would grow deeper in him. And then Paul, in the last chapter here, as it's broken down for us, as he gets towards the end, he really kind of wraps things up here. And he has a lot of greetings here in the final greetings. We're not going to read a lot of that. A lot of names we don't know. And it's important that there was a team aspect here. But in chapter 4, starting in verse 2, as Paul comes down to kind of finish his letter that he knew would be written or read in homes and in communities around in different cities as kind of a letter that would travel, he wrote these things, starting in verse 2 of chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And as Paul's wrapping things up, he brings it down here. He says, you know what, early on I started with this idea of just getting beyond that mystery, knowing Christ, and Christ is has supremacy in everything. Christ is the center of everything. And it comes down to rubber meets the road here. We talked last week about rules for Christian households and how we should treat one another in the household, wives and husbands, children and fathers, employees, employers, slaves, masters, however you want to look at that. And he comes, and the heading we have, which is a man-made heading, not a God-given heading. It's a man-made heading of further instructions, and I would say almost final instructions. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves, group, to prayer. And be thankful, watchful and thankful. And pray for us as leaders. He was talking about himself and some of these other leaders of the early church. You pray for us that God may open a door for the message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul's a prisoner. He's in prison. He's not praying that he'd be released. He's praying that he would have open doors to share the gospel. And he honestly wasn't saying, open the door so I can run out and tell people about Jesus, but give me an opportunity somehow to tell people about Christ. And one of those open doors is the people of Colossae. And he's writing them and saying, pray and be mindful, be watchful, be thankful, and pray for me, or pray for us that we may have the doors open. Pray that I, personally, take whole group down to the leadership, down to himself, pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. And I would say that that is the same call for us. As a community, let's pray that we would be watchful and thankful, that we would be open to opportunities. Pray for our leadership that we would lead the right direction and go through the doors that God opens for us. Pray for me, for Pastor Dustin, as we give pastoral leadership to the community here. We need your prayers. Because guess what? Pastor Dustin's not perfect. And neither am I. You're going to make me say it. We're not perfect. We need your prayers. So be in prayer for those things. And then it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. There's an aspect of prayer. Pray that God would show you the open doors. Now that you know Christ and you're going deeper in him, pray that you would have opportunity to make a kingdom impact, that you would actively be seeking opportunities to expand God's kingdom. And taking the message beyond just yourselves, beyond just ourselves. So we need to be prayer for that. And what are we praying for? That we would be wise in the way we act among outsiders. That when we live with our neighbors and our coworkers and people that we rub shoulders with on our teams or whatever we spend time, that we would be wise in how we approach those relationships. That we would make the most of every opportunity that God has given us. And that, I love this part, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. A lot of times we've said in the, you know, we've struggled in the past because we have this, used to have, you know, and still do want to talk about how to share our faith. And people say, I don't know the answers to the questions people have. And Paul's saying, just pray that God would enlighten you, that he would open doors, and that you would be wise to know how to expand God's kingdom when the door is open. We don't need to bust the doors open. We just need to walk through the open doors that God has given us. But we need to pray for wisdom and that our words would be full of grace. Anybody here, be honest with me, anybody here ever need to hear words of grace? You should all raise your hands now, okay? Everyone raise your hands. Let's just all be active together. Everyone in this room, whether you know it or not, has needed grace at some point. We love to receive grace, not condemnation. Now, there are things that we are guilty of. There are sins in our life that need to be forgiven. And there is a price that will be paid for those if they're not forgiven. But Paul's methodology, as Jesus's was to come and speak words of grace seasoned with salt. That tastes good. And it wants us, makes us want more. Lay's potato chips, right? What's their old line? Can't eat just one. When words of grace are given with salt, as salt, people want to hear more of those words of grace. Paul goes on in verse 12 down towards the middle of that last little bit there, that last section. Verse 12, he says, Epaphras, the guy who started the church in Colossae, who was a disciple of Paul's, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I want to just end there. Epaphras, the one who started the church, the one who's now going to bring this letter back most likely, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, Jesus, sends greetings, and he's going to bring this letter most likely. He's always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in what you believe, stand firm in the will of God, becoming mature, and being fully assured of the thing that you trust in. So I need to stand firm. How can I stand firm? Because I've matured in it. And as I've matured, I've become more and more assured of the fact that what I believe and what I put my hope in is true. So stand firm, matured, and fully assured. And as leadership, that's our hope for you. Each one of you individually. And for us corporately. Now today, as we have opportunity to think on these things, don't think that these words are for your neighbor. They might be actually for you. Don't think that they're for the new person who just happened to wander in here today, maybe. Maybe they're for you. The question is, where do we need to receive this? And all of us need to receive it somewhere. Maybe you need to receive the fact that maybe I've never put my hope in Christ, and I need to come on firm ground and say Christ is the answer. The mystery's been removed. And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to really consider doing that. And if you don't know how to do that, don't know what that means, or you're confused by that, or want to talk to somebody, come please talk to me, talk to Pastor Dustin. Grab somebody you know here that you think can help you with that, but talk to somebody. Maybe you're standing on it, but you're not maturing in it. Maybe you come here and you put in your time on Sunday mornings, then you go away and you're 5 miles wide and an inch deep. Our goal this year is to be rooted and established in Christ, going deep. So maybe that's the step you need to do. Maybe you need to be fully assured of the fact that what you've put your hope in is the right thing. That's not a bad thing to be. Stand firm, matured, fully assured. That's the hope that Paul gives in the message. And if Pastor Dustin and the team come, we thought about, we're just going to have one last song here today. And it's Be Thou My Vision. Great song. As you listen to the song, just think about what God might be calling you to do. What step he might be calling you to take. And just be willing to take whatever step he calls you to do. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and just thank you for the amazing opportunity to be students of your word, to be encouraged by the writings of your the leadership of your early church, to be inspired by the words of Paul, one who made an amazing life corrections and changes to be mature and deep and fully assured in who you are. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this growing community of people who really represent a very wide spiritual spectrum. From those in this room who have not chosen to follow Christ or come to that point of their life yet, for those who are questioning and wondering what this Jesus thing is about, to those who have walked with Christ for years, and yet every one of us can take the next step as you call us to. So, Father, for those of us who need to take that first step in faith to follow you and to believe that what you have said you would do for us, you have done, we would ask that those people would just truly be able to take that first step or that next step, that big step, to trust in you. And, Father, for those of us who are trusted in you but not maybe going deep as we should, we would ask that we would be willing to take the opportunities and the self-initiative to go deeper with you. That we would ask for help when we need it, but that we would make a personal decision to not have somebody else make us go deep or take us deep, but that we would choose to follow you in going deep. And Father, for those of us who are striving to mature in you, that we would have full assurance of the fact that we stand on the truth. Maybe every doctrine we hold to is not exactly true, and we would ask that you would sift those things out for us, but we would ask that we would know the doctrine of the salvation that we have that comes from you through the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, through his atonement. That, Father, we would stand strong in those things. And we have full assurance of the fact that what we could not do for ourselves in making ourselves right to walk in a relationship with you, you accomplished on the cross for us. Father, give us full assurance of that. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.